Will you turn with me to the second portion of Scripture we read there, the Psalms, Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. As I indicated there, the most likely setting and situation out of which these words were penned and taken is that example of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The city of Jerusalem was besieged by the Moabites and the Ammonites with their various allies, and they were in great fear and trepidation. They took their problem to the Lord, and through one servant of the Lord, they were given this tremendous answer, "Don't be afraid." And they were told to do something which perhaps some people would think of as ridiculous. They were told to go out and march out against the people of the Ammonites and the Moabites. And one commentator makes the observation that before God does the miraculous, he asks us to do the ridiculous. At least the ridiculous as far as the assessment of men is concerned, because what would be achieved by the armies of Jehoshaphat going out against such a great number as was ranged against them? But the Lord defended them. The Lord put the Ammonites and the Moabites to the sword. Self-destruct button was pressed. They turned on each other, they killed each other, and the children of God, the Judah, went out and they inherited the tremendous, precious things that these people were carrying. To understand, therefore, the background to this psalm, we should constantly keep in our minds, and it would be a good exercise to take again and again, later on perhaps tonight or in other days, 2 Chronicles 20 and Psalm 46, read them together and to see the way in which they mesh so easily together. I want to take this particular verse tonight. As we do come to the threshold of another year, the memories of a past year crowd in upon us. The uncertainties of the next year are still to be experienced by us, but can they disturb us? They can disturb us by the shadow they cast upon us. We can be sometimes shaken. Circumstances of life can be difficult. How are we going to cope and keep our balance? This psalm is a great encouragement to us. It breeds our spiritual confidence in a great God. When we're surrounded by turmoil, when we're filled with fear, we can listen to verse 10. We can set it in the context of verse chapter 20 and the city of Jerusalem being besieged. And we can listen to what God says then and now to us. Be still and know that I am God. Where Jehoshaphat immediately took his problems to the Lord, there in 2 Chronicles 20, he first of all starts by rehearsing the way God had looked after them as a nation. He goes back over Solomon, he goes back over David's days, he goes back over Joshua's day and the way in which the Lord brought them into the land. He goes right back to the days of Abraham, over hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's what he rehearses in his prayer, asking for God's intervention. So what I want us to take first of all out of this Psalm 46, I want us to think of the logic of the psalmist's thinking. You can understand perhaps what I say in the life of Jehoshaphat when I say that it requires a cool nerve and confident faith to stand still and to start thinking. Because that's exactly what he did. There was a tremendous pressure, there was a tangible force, there was a great company, we're told, surrounding them, ready to devour and to come upon Jerusalem. And what is it that Jehoshaphat starts with? What does he start with when he goes in to speak with the Lord? He says, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Are not the kingdoms the ones you rule over? Is there not power and might in your hands so that nobody is able to withstand you?" You see what he's doing? The logic of his thinking. Where does he start? He starts with God. The same way the psalmist starts and he says, God is our refuge and our strength. So the first thing that he starts and sets before us in the logic of his thinking is this simple declaration, God. He doesn't give us any proof. He states the reality of what he knows. And he considers all disasters. He considers all of the things that are round about him, aware of them, but he rises above them to one fact that does not change. God is. We can be aware of our own weaknesses and our own frailties. We can be aware of the pressure to conform. We can be aware of the changes in society. We are aware of the changes in ourselves with each birthday, each marker that comes into our life. Together as a nation, we can see the marker as we go from one year into the next. There are changes come upon us wave after wave, almost any and every day. And the psalmist is lifting our gaze with his own above all of these things. Jehoshaphat did it. The psalmist is doing it. Where does he start? Where should we start? God is. This is the rock on which he stands when all around him is changing. This is what fills his thoughts. This is what fills his vision. Though mountains, though seas, though kingdoms be moved, it's interesting that in verse 2, he talks about the earth being removed, though the earth slip. And then down in verse 8, he speaks about kingdoms being moved, and it's the same word he uses. And so what the psalmist is saying is that although the elements of creation round about us might slip, although the kingdoms that men create might slip, there is one thing in verse 5 that he tells us quite plainly does not slip. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will not be moved or deflected from helping his people. That is the beginning of his thinking. We can be sucked in by what's going on round about us. But God is above them all and everything of society. And therefore we should keep our eyes fixed firmly upon him. We can look back and we can see other situations and we can see the way in which God helped us. We can look forward and we can speak to our soul and we can bring the words of our faith clearly before our minds and say to our soul, yes, God is with you. But in the pressure of a situation, when you've got the Ammonites and when you've got the Moabites and when you've got all of their allies bearing down upon the walls of Jerusalem, that's a different situation altogether. There is pressure. You're tested severely. And what is it the psalmist tells us? He says, remember. Start in the best place and in the best way. Be logical in your thinking. Start with this declaration. God is. He is real, active, and committed on behalf of his people. And don't allow anyone or anything to rob you as a Christian of the comfort and the strength that is yours legitimately on the basis of what he has done for you. To take just simply what we were talking of this morning, that the way in which those that received Christ, he gave them the dignity to be sons of God. He gave them the status. This is what they are. God is committed to them, wherever they might be. Very well. Think through the privileges that that brings. Be logical in our thinking. If God has committed himself, in such a way that he sent his son to die on the cross. What does that mean in all the other ramifications of life and the problems and difficulties? So what if there's an army bearing down upon Jerusalem? Look at what God has done in bringing you out of Egypt. Look at what God has done in saving you time and time and time again. Will not God do it again for you now? The declaration, logical in his thinking. But then he puts on top of that, not only the declaration God is, but he puts upon that the description. God is a refuge, a strength, a very present help in trouble. He brings in, yes, the relationship that God has with his people. The description that's given here is, it's not an exhaustive description of all that God is and will be to his people. Rather, what we have here is a description of God's character in the circumstances in which his people are found. An appropriate situation dictates the way in which God relates and reveals himself to his own. Shows aspects of his character and the elements of his commitment in the area of their need and their difficulty. And therefore, if they are in trouble, if they are in difficulty, if they are in need of a certain area where armies are coming against Jerusalem or whatever, then it is that area that dictates and controls the way in which God reveals himself to his people. He is, in the face of that threat, God is what? He is a refuge. In the face of this overwhelming great company that's coming against you, God is your strength. They are coming and they're knocking on the doors of the city. Lord, we need you, and we need you now. And the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. There are quiet moments when the Lord protects his people. Protects his people from the pursuing enemy. When danger knocks on the door, the Lord keeps his people safe in the hollow of his hand. When the storm comes, the Lord brings them into shelter, into refuge, away from the storm that beats about them. He is their strength. He is the one who will do all that is necessary to protect and to preserve and to keep his people. He is able to watch over them until the storm overpasses and breaks and clears away. God never leaves his own. He never abandons them. He never disappoints them. He is a present help. He is a God who's helped in the past. Here is the psalmist. He is reciting the track record, if we can put it in that way. He is reciting the track record of God. He is a well-proven help in time of trouble. I've been in this situation, and I've been in that situation, and I've been in the next situation, and here is the catalogue of the places and difficulties that I've been in. And here, side by side with every entry, is the way in which the Lord has helped. He is a very present help. A well-proven help in time of need. Drawing on the credibility, the consistency of God's commitment, the experience of the psalmist, looking back on other situations where there has been just as intense a need, and God hasn't been found wanting. How has he fared? He has been present in the fullness of his aid to assist his people according to his covenant promise and according to the faithfulness of his character. When you've needed him most, he's never been lacking, and he's never been late. This is what God is at all times and in all circumstances to his people. The logic of his thinking. God is, and he's been this in the past. So, in a good old-fashioned, typical way, you've got one fact, you've got another fact, you get a conclusion. What does he do? How does he tell us? What does he say to us? What's the logic conclusion he comes to? He says, God is our refuge, therefore we will not fear. There's a logic to our Christian faith. Some people will deride us. Some people will laugh at us. And some people say, you're in a mythological world. You are just simply pie in the sky for the sweet by and by. That's the way they've put us down. But there's logic to our faith. We are not driven in a corner. We're not jumping at every shadow. We're not blind to the greatness of God. We're not deaf to the promises of God. Let us take what he tells us, think it through and apply it. Because fear can grip us, and fear can strangle us, and fear can rob us. If we allow it. And the one protection we can have amongst many is to be logical in our thinking. If God is, and if he has been a refuge and our strength and our help in times past, and we can take our own diary and we can go back over the pages and we can see the way the Lord has helped me, and if he's done it time and time and time again, the conclusion that I'm forced to, that I gladly go along with, I have nothing to fear now. There may be the snorting of horses, and there may be the glint of the spear, and there may be the noise of battle round about the city of Jerusalem. But the word of the prophet, remember, that came. The word was, fear not, the battle is not yours, but God's. The logic of his thinking. Fear not. Because fear can so quickly rise up with us. It's one of the experiences and emotions that so quickly comes into the Christian's life, and we need a great defense against it. Here is one. Isaiah 41:10 gives another one. There we have piled on piled on pile the promises of God, what God has committed to be and to do for his people. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Therefore, be logical in your thinking. Fear not. Be still and know that I am God. Well, that's the first thing that we've got here, the logic of his thinking. But the psalmist moves on to tell us something else. He goes on to speak about the commitment of his God. He doesn't push the panic button. He draws his attention, our attention, to God. And he tells us something about the commitment of God to his people, to his church, down through the generations, down through the years, in the days of Jehoshaphat, in the days of the psalmist, in our day today. What is the commitment of God to a little group, just as we are here gathered on a Sunday night? There are several different encouraging strands we can tease out of this psalm for our good. It speaks, first of all, in verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Commitment of God? Surely here we can see something of the abundance of his supply for our need. Somebody can survive without food for an awful lot longer than they can survive without water. So if you want to capture a city, the one thing you go for is their water supply. Because once you've got the water, either to divert it, and that was one of the tactics that was used to capture the cities in the old days, was actually divert the river from going through the city to go around the city. Or again, to poison the wells so there wasn't any drinking water available. Supply of water is vital to the good well-being of a city. And what we're told here is that the supply for the Christian is abundant, guaranteed, because of the commitment of his God. There is a river. The supply of spiritual strength to the church is not under doubt or threat today. We can be boxed in, but we're not shut out. We can be boxed in, but we are not shut out. The supply which is spoken of here, the river, it speaks about breaking down into streams which make glad the city of God, which refresh the whole of the city. The church of Jesus Christ is refreshed by drawing upon the abundance of his supply for you and for me every day. A river that flows out of the throne of God, as the book of Revelation tells us. He is the source of life for us. And as we draw from him and on him, so our life keeps burning, is attractive, and is effective in the society where God has placed us. Boxed in, but never shut out. The commitment of God, the abundance of supply for his people. We can indeed be under severe and extreme pressures. We can be underneath severe timetables and agendas of this, that, and the other that needs attention and needs doing. But there is security of spiritual life guaranteed to each and every one of us. Every believer, no matter what demand is laid upon you for tomorrow, no matter where your life is taking you, no matter what you're required to do, as you draw upon your God, and as you go in his name to glorify him, let this thought constantly be going at the back of your mind. There is a stream, there is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God. God's commitment of abundant supply, spiritual supply for us. But not only do we have that dimension to God's commitment, we have a second one. Not only is there this abundant supply, he is also an almighty keeper. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. She will not slip. God is indwelling his church and his people. We have here quite clearly stated the fact of God's presence with his own. And when God is with his own, God's people are unbeatable because God is indestructible. As God is present with us, we are indeed kept safe. It doesn't mean to say we will be immune from the troubles and the problems of life. Far from it, they might be multiplied to us because there is this recognition of God's presence amongst us. But the one thing that we have is that when God is with us, we are indeed kept safe. Not that we're strong in ourselves. It's not by our own power or strength or any such thing. It is because God is with us. It is because God is round about us. It is because He has deployed His power and His strength as outposts to guard and keep safe His people. If only we would understand, yes, and live more and more in the light of it. Perhaps it's an explanation or an expansion of what we were thinking of again this morning. This is the status. This is the status of God's people. He is their keeper. He does look over and keep us. So often we put limitations upon what God will do for us. So often we put limitations and restrictions on how far He will go. And then when we're in a tight corner, God surprises us by going over the line, beyond our restrictions, and so showing to us the wonder of His grace. He is an almighty keeper of His people. And He is an assured and timely helper. The beginning of verse 1, we were talking about a very present help in trouble, the past record. Here in verse 5, God shall help her, and that right early. The reference to the early speaks about the dawn of the morning. Right at the very beginning, when she needs help. God is no idle spectator of the throes and the woes of God's people. When His people are in danger, God does not stand back in an indifferent way. There are times, yes, when we question, why the delay? We question, why not now, Lord? There are times when we would love the Lord to be active now rather than later. But so often when we come to the end of a phase or an experience and look back on the gift of faith, we can see, yes, that's why it happened the way it did. The Lord is never late, even by a second. He is a very present help. Yes, but He is also there right early. When we need Him, He is there for His own. Jehoshaphat needed the Lord. The situation was imminently. It was dangerous. The threat was there, closing in upon them. The circle was getting smaller and tighter as the enemy came in against the city of Jerusalem. It's now, Lord, and it's now that we need You. Is He coming? Will the Lord save them? Will the Lord help them? We can be in that kind of situation, and these same thoughts come up in our mind, into our soul. And then we must go back to this verse. The Lord shall help her. Yes, the Lord shall help the city of God, the city Jerusalem. He will help the city of God. And He'll do it right early. Plain and simple, we need help. And the answer immediately comes back. In the moment of your need, at the point of your need, the Lord indeed will help you. He steps in. He protects. He does it in a way which, in the example of 2 Chronicles, was a miraculous way. Other ways He uses means to raise the siege. A city has been besieged by the Philistines. And what happens? But God raises trouble back home. So they've got to go back and lift the siege, and the city goes free. Different ways the Lord uses, but His timing is always perfect and His wisdom is always perfect. The assured helper, the commitment of God to the good and the well-being of His own. And again, just take what it says here about the help coming at the dawn of the morning. We all know that if we've been through the night time and we've been through trouble and the trouble has kept us awake and we've been there longing for the daylight to come, thinking that the daylight is going to change it, but it doesn't. But there we are just at the dawn. The dawn is a time when we're often at our lowest, when we're at our weakest. We've been holding out all night. And God comes when we are at our lowest and our weakest. And He comes to aid His own. He will arise to defend His loved ones. And He will do it in a way which always brings the glory to Himself. Yes, be still and know that I am God. The logic of the psalmist's thinking. The commitment of his God. And just simply one or two thoughts on the last thing we have. The assurance to his soul. Be still and know that I am God. And then verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The assurance that he has, the Lord of hosts. Back in the days of Jehoshaphat and the days of 2 Chronicles, there was a great emphasis upon earthly kings. Every nation had to have its figurehead. Every nation had to have its king. Every nation had to have somebody to lead them. And Israel were no different. They wanted their king just like other nations round about. That was the problem with Saul's day. And here we have the psalmist saying, yes, don't be distracted. Don't start thinking of what other nations have got. Don't start thinking that you're going to be like them and that you're going to survive if you've got one like them. No. The presence of the Lord of hosts, that is the king that you have round about you. And the title that is given shows to us the way in which he is the host, where the spiritual powers, the heavenly powers, angels and such like. And what we're told here is that the one who is the king of Israel is far greater and more mighty than any of these other kings of satellite nations. Yes, even the Ammonites, and the Moabites, and the others. This is the God that is with us, the Lord of hosts, the God who possesses such might and power. So, whatever nation comes against God's people, whether they're large, skillful, equipped, threatening there, ready to wipe out Jerusalem, what are they compared to our God? The God who has committed himself to the protection, the safety of his own people. He will always be there to the end of the age. The Lord of hosts, that's the assurance that the psalmist has. But there's another dimension to this assurance in that same verse. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Why does he mention underneath this figure also the God who's with him? Well, we know that Jacob was a fickle character. He was so changeable. He was so up and down, so inconsistent to the point of disappointment. That God, the God of such a character as Jacob, a God who is faithful in his covenant to such a character like Jacob, that's the God who is your God. Because there will be times when you might be just like Jacob. There might be times when you are variable and you go down and you're inconsistent, just like Jacob. And when you're like that, the enemy will exploit the situation against you to cast you down and try to cut you off and throw you out. And here we have it. All these armies that are round about Jerusalem, oh, we've brought it on ourselves. Look at the way we've lived. Look at the way we've been disappointed. Look at the way we've We can recite so many things in our own lives to justify where we are and what the Lord is doing with us. And then this breaks in. The God of Jacob. Oh, his provocation, Jacob's provocation, was much, much greater than anything from you and I, perhaps. But God didn't change. Didn't back off or bow out of that covenant that he had made with Jacob. He is his refuge. He is also our refuge. If we are attacked, harassed, if we're harried, if there's a cloud, if there's a doubt, if there's an anxiety camped and pitched about us, so what? We have the God who is the Lord of hosts with us. And we have the God who is the God of Jacob. We can run to him for safety. And we can go to him for help. We are not cowed. We are not rattled. We are not left reeling or shaken when things happen to us round about. Oh, momentarily, let's be honest. Momentarily we can be a little bit reeling. We would be less than human if we wouldn't admit that. But we immediately gather our composure. We do what the psalmist did. We become logical in our thinking of our faith. We remember who's with us, what he's done for us, what he's promised to be to us, what he's done to others, what he is in himself, the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob. All of these are waves that break upon us to encourage us. Fear not. Be still and know that I am God. Let us pray. Almighty Lord and God, as thou art praised and worshipped of angels this evening, enable us to join our song of praise with theirs, and to lift thee up and adore thee for what thou art, and what thou hast revealed thyself to us in Jesus Christ thy Son, and the experience we've had in our living of dealings with thee. And so, Lord, whatever we might face and wherever we might be brought to go, enable us to go from one year into another in the company of thee, our God. And do thou help us and sustain us. And do thou enable us with confidence in our soul to live in the fullness of thy provision for us. Forgive us, Lord, for our faults and failings in all the service we've rendered to thee today. And do thou seal to our hearts what has come from thyself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing from part of that psalm, Psalm 46. The Lord of hosts upon our side doth constantly remain. The God of Jacob's our refuge, us safely to maintain. There in verse 7, there's the echo of what we were referring to in verse 11. But we'll sing from verse 8. Come and behold what wondrous works have by the Lord been wrought. Come see what desolations he on the earth hath brought, and to the ends of all the earth, wars unto peace he turns. The bow he breaks, the spear he cuts, and fire the chariot burns. Be still and know that I am God, among the heathen I will be exalted, I on earth will be exalted, I. Our God, who is the Lord of hosts, is still upon our side. The God of Jacob, our refuge, forever will abide. 46 then at 8 to 11, four stanzas, come and behold what wondrous works.